This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
When we glass closed down, that was his idea. And honestly, he got killed. And so he doesn't want to own it. And I said, you know what? Rather than us debating who's owning it, I'll take it. I'll take it. If we close down the country, I will take it, because we're closing it down for border security. And I think I win that every single time.
If President Trump wants to throw a temper tantrum ahead of the holidays and cause a Trump shutdown, it'll be solely on his back. We hope he chooses one of the two reasonable options we gave him, and that the country can avoid a Trump shutdown.
Wow, it got nasty today in the Oval. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. So big questions as to the president, the possibility of the shutdown, and this all over the border wall, and $5 billion. Like Richie Rich, if I don't get my money, I'm flying away. Just kidding. I got to stay. But he says, I'll take responsibility. So I'll take the blame if there's a government shutdown. But really, what happens there? So a verbal spat with congressional Democratic leaders Nancy Pelosi and Senator Chuck Schumer when they met to work toward avoiding that partial shutdown on December 21st when funding for a large chunk of the government, well, it expires. So we know that we come up against this different kind of wall, the money wall, and if he's going to shut it down, he'll shut it down. He said he wants a shutdown if that's not going to happen. So if you remember, and I started to think about this, when did this become part of what we talked about, you know, that we're going to leverage shutting down the government as part of what could happen if you don't play pool with us? And that really happened in the clashes between Bill Clinton and the Republican majority in Congress in the 90s. There have been seven polled government shutdowns or close calls. Each was different. Republicans have been blamed for a lot of them. Democrats took the blame for the most recent one, a short one back in January, even though Republicans controlled the House, Senate, and White House at the time. So the shutdowns in 95, 95, and 96 were blamed on the Republicans who controlled the House and the Senate at the time, even though Democrat Clinton, as I mentioned, was in the White House. And we could go through a whole list of them, but I'll tell you what. There have been some dramatic poison darts thrown back and forth. The shutdown in 2000 or 2013 and the near shutdown in 2015 show that if you know, who would be to blame for the 16-day shutdown in 2013? Who would it be? Some threw to the Republicans in Congress, right? Between 38 and 53%. And this is the whole deal. Who gets jammed up in a government shutdown? And it's the people working for the government. Are they getting checks? Are they not getting checks? And that's what people want. You mess with people's money, you mess with their minds, you mess with their hearts, you mess with their vote. Nobody wants to not get paid. As an entrepreneur, I can tell you, you don't want to be in that situation. And we all know that. Most of you listening to us have been in that situation, I'm sure, at one point or another. So on a bigger scale, it's incredibly delicate territory, especially for anybody who finds themselves in a precarious situation of being reelected. You know, where are they on the clock as far as an election is concerned? And of course, we just went through one, but that sticks in the craw of a lot of people and doesn't go away. So if you're up for election or reelection next year in November, that will be remembered. I mean, it really will. Because if you mess with someone's money, they're going to mess with you back, period. Yeah. So isn't it interesting? There was no coalition. There was no handshakes of we've got an agreement here. There was no $5 billion that parted ways. And the president still is saying to the Democrats that Mexico is going to pay for this wall. He's saying they're going to pay. Remember, this is one of the things that he said when he was running. So that's a popular theme from the campaign. It hasn't materialized. And Mexican leadership is saying they're not going to pay for a wall at all. The so-called wall is where it stood before. We will not pay for it, no matter how you spin it. Nancy Pelosi told Democratic members in a closed meeting of the Steering and Policy Committee that the president made the claim about Mexico bearing the brunt of the wall's cost when he went to the Capitol, when she returned to the Capitol, rather, from her meeting at the White House. They're not going to pay for the wall. But the money is not coming from Mexico at all. It comes from the legislative body if they're going to embrace this idea of paying $5 billion. But I just don't see how that's going to happen. Could I be wrong? Of course. But in reading the tea leaves, it doesn't take much to see which way they're going. They're stacking up against the direction of getting that $5 billion. But will it hang up any of you when it comes to getting paid, or when it comes to days out and then having to be back on the job? And then what services, if any, will this shut down for people who are trying to figure something out that they have to have done with government assistance, whatever it, you know, might be? But they can't get a hold of someone in the XYZ department because that apartment's shut down for, I don't know, a day, 2 days, 3 days, more days than that. And so it was a throwdown in the Oval. And I always say that America Tonight is what we're jawing about across the country. If we're not talking about weather, we're not talking about our sports teams, we're talking about the polarizing politics that are happening in D.C. that affect all of us. So when you have Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and Donald Trump in a room, they didn't agree to very much. And at one point, the president said, "And then we have the easy one, the wall. That will be the easiest of all. What do you think, Chuck? Maybe not." And Schumer said, "It's called funding the government, Mr. President." So it was already contentious to begin with. But the wall will get built. A lot of the wall is built. It's been very effective. This is something the president has said again and again. And he said, "So I don't think we should have a debate in front of the press on this." Nancy Pelosi, trying to give Trump an out, which he didn't take, later after the meeting, explained that she wanted to go beyond closed doors and said, "I didn't want to, in front of those people, say, you don't know what you're talking about. Oomph." So she didn't say that. And then the president said, "We won the Senate." And Schumer said, "When the president brags that he won North Dakota and Indiana, he's in real trouble." So he was obviously trying to poke him in a soft spot and see if he reacts. And then the president said at one point, "Nancy is in a situation where it's not easy for her to talk right now, and I understand that." And Pelosi said, "Mr. President, please don't characterize the strength that I bring to this meeting as the leader of the House Democrats who just won a big victory." There was some trash talking. We could take some lessons from that, right? There was a show, let's put it that way, a show in the Oval. All right, coming up, it is about numbers. We can count. Here with me, Kate Delaney, on my show, America Tonight. Next, on the flip side, jump the fence with me.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
Marijuana has unleashed a green gold rush across our nation. It's creating $10.8 billion in new wealth a year. And every day, it's transforming more and more Americans into millionaires. Former Speaker of the House John Boehner reveals how you could become one of them. Join him online for the American Cannabis Summit. Attendance is 100% free, but space is limited. Join online at www.acs2018.com. CannabisRadio.com. John Boehner and an esteemed panel will reveal which cannabis stocks are primed to deliver life-changing windfalls. Plus, they will show you how to become a cannabis angel investor, backing the hottest startups before they potentially become worth billions of dollars.
To join the American Cannabis Summit, visit ACS2018.com or text JOIN to 76280. Don't miss this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Text JOIN to 76280. Text JOIN to 76280 now.
The United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The deep state began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
Marijuana has unleashed a green gold rush across our nation. It's creating $10.8 billion in new wealth a year. And every day, it's transforming more and more Americans into millionaires. Former Speaker of the House John Boehner reveals how you could become one of them. Join him online for the American Cannabis Summit. Attendance is 100% free, but space is limited. Join online at www.acs2018.com. John Boehner and an esteemed panel will reveal which cannabis stocks are primed to deliver life-changing windfalls. Plus, they will show you how to become a cannabis angel investor, backing the hottest startups before they potentially become worth billions of dollars.
To join the American Cannabis Summit, visit ACS2018.com or text JOIN to 76280. Don't miss this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Text JOIN to 76280. Text JOIN to 76280 now.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
Time for another edition of We Can Count. Yeah, there's always so many numbers connected to everything around us. That I thought not too long ago, we live in numbers. I mean, it is about numbers, right? So I'll give you an easy number. Alex Ovechkin. I love that name. Ovechkin. If you don't know him, I've just introduced you to him. He's not a politician. He's not a Russian hacking us. He is a Russian who plays for the Washington Capitals. And he had his first hat trick this season, so he led the Capitals to a rout of the Red Wings, 6-2. What's cool about this is, when there's a hat trick, you know what happens? People take off their hats and throw them on the ice. I mean, just anything. Your old hat on your head, your nice hat, your whatever, boom, and they fly out of the stands, and they fly onto the ice, and then they have to clean them all up, but that's a hat trick. So now you know. Maybe some of you already knew what a hat trick was. But if you didn't, you definitely know at this point. All right, some other numbers. Of course, when we talk about politics, there's always numbers because it's about votes. It's about in the legislative bodies, getting enough votes, getting enough votes to win an election, getting enough money to really push during that election to get exposure through different types of media, old and new. And then I happened to see this, and I thought it was pretty, I thought this was pretty interesting that when we look at, numbers, and again, when we're counting numbers and, you know, what they all, mean, I happened to see this, that the Department of Justice asked the Supreme Court to lift an injunction on an asylum ban. I'm thinking, okay, I just saw the headline. What does that mean? I know what it means. And they're blocking the asylum ban from going into effect. It's a pretty aggressive move, actually, and by the Solicitor General to bypass the lower courts and ask for this newly solidified conservative Supreme Court for relief. So the president signed a presidential proclamation last month that would bar migrants who illegally cross into the U.S. over the southern border from seeking asylum outside of official ports of entry. But a judge in San Francisco blocked the measure, saying it conflicts with immigration law and the expressed intent of Congress. So keep following me. A panel of judges on the Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals said Friday that the lower court's temporary injunction would remain in place. So now what do you have? So now as you take all this and crunch it together, you have the United States experiences a surge in the number of aliens who enter the country unlawfully from Mexico and, if apprehended, claim asylum and remain in the country while the claim is processed, with little prospect of actually being granted that discretionary relief. That's what the Solicitor General wrote in Tuesday's filing. Now, the American Civil Liberties Union attorney said that the move to restore the ban would short-circuit judicial precedent. So what does that mean? He basically said, oh, this is blatantly unlawful policy. Supreme Court Justice Elena Kagan, who has jurisdiction over the appeals court, is asking the challengers for a response by next Monday. So in less than 7 days, there's your number. We will find out perhaps what happens with this asylum ban, and that has a big impact on the people who are coming through those ports, and then on the numbers of people that have to be processed. Because, again, this is part of the dealio. It's the problem of processing, not so easy. All right, this is a sad number, and I'm so sick of this, no matter where it happens, but at least 3 people dead, 11 wounded. Did you know about this terror attack? Oh, yeah. There's another terror attack. Where is it this time? Christmas market in France. Been identified, but is still at large. They went to his house, failed to find him. A 29-year-old suspect has a criminal record linked to radicalism. And it happened at this famous Christmas market where most of Europe's worst terror attacks of recent years take place. It's raising the terror alert level, sending security to that area. And, you know, they had 2 helicopters, 350 security forces searching for the guy who was the shooter. And there's people that were hit, so let's see if they survived. But how awful is this? So what do you have? Somebody comes in and they start to shoot. So the market's closed now because they're worried about any kind of a bigger catastrophe. And, you know, we had that attack 3 years ago in Paris. Boy, boy, oh boy, oh boy. A man in his 30s, just, they say, you know, witnesses were standing there watching, and they tried to help somebody, they tried to drag someone aside, that it was shocking that people were screaming and they could hear gunshots. And as I said, this is just way too familiar to many of us who heard this over and over again lately in different situations, whether it's in a bar, whether it's in a school somewhere. And now this time in France, they keep having this problem out at their Christmas markets. All right, how about the Chicago mayor? He says, you know what? I got a way to deal with our pension crisis. How are we going to get more money in here? So what we're going to do is, why don't we legalize marijuana, and why don't we open a casino? That just looks so funny, doesn't it? Let's open a casino and legalize marijuana. Oh, I love it. Yeah, that's the way to handle this. And it's so funny because, you know, if you were even to suggest that not too long ago, people would be aghast at the idea of trying to do this to solve a money crisis and say that that's not the way to go, to try to bring in gambling and to legalize pot. But the outgoing mayor wants that to happen. Rahm Emanuel, who leaves in May of 2019, is proposing both measures to be addressed, just like New York Governor Andrew Cuomo told the New York Post that his aides did anyway, that he was ready to plan to come up with a plan to legalize recreational marijuana there. So if successful, it's already allowed in California, there would be New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago where you could have legalized marijuana. Now, here's the thing. Chicago's four public worker pension funds have more than $27 billion in unfunded liabilities. So he'll call for any tax money the city gets from legalizing recreational marijuana and a Chicago casino to be dedicated to the pension fund so they could make them whole. They're going to need $267 million in 2020 to pay for police and fire pension contributions, and $310 million by 2022 to cover the municipal and laborers fund. Yeah, you think of those people who worked there for a long time and expect that that's part of what the package is, and then they don't, you know, they're worried because how are you going to fund it? You know, how are you going to fund the pensions when you can't come up with the do-re-mi? Snow is so pretty when you see it from afar, but when it's 20 inches or more or 1 to 2 feet, it's just not good, right? It can be a mess. So it's been a mess in the south. Temperatures below freezing. The storm killed at least 3 people in North Carolina, dumped 1 to 2 feet of snow across the southern and central Appalachians, and hundreds of car accidents, power outages, travel headaches. Schools in Virginia and North Carolina closed for a second day on Tuesday. 60,000 homes and businesses without power. Oh, that's when you have to have firewood, right? If you have firewood, everybody stand by the fire. What do you do? And, you know, parts of Alabama, Mississippi, and Louisiana also had freezing fog on Tuesday morning. Ooh, fog is brutal. You know, it's like if I asked you, what do you hate the most? Where you have that whiteout and you can't see, and you're in the driving snow, where you have fog and you can't see. I mean, I guess the answer is when you just can't see. When you can't see what's in front of you and you're just trying to navigate slowly, figuring out a way to get through. Boy, I've been in that whiteout situation. It is frightening to me. Busick, I think, is how you say it. I could be saying it wrong. North Carolina, small town. 34 inches. It's about 25 miles northeast of Asheville. So pretty bad. Asheville, 11.1 inches fell in Asheville. Third biggest December snowstorm on record. Roanoke, Virginia, 15 inches. Woo! Stay with us.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. President Trump is pushing back after a federal sentencing memo said he directed his attorney to violate campaign finance laws. In an interview, the president said he's not concerned about possibly being impeached and says he thinks people would revolt if that happened. The president told Reuters, "It's hard to impeach somebody who hasn't done anything wrong." He also claimed that payments made by his former personal attorney, Michael Cohen, didn't violate campaign finance laws. In court documents, prosecutors say the payments were directed by the president, and they do violate those laws. The president is also now saying there were actually contacts with Russians and members of his campaign before the election, but he says the talks were, quote, peanut stuff. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
What does Meals on Wheels do? They deliver meals and smiles to homebound seniors. But Meals on Wheels does something else. They turn a volunteer's lunch break into a meaningful experience.
As small and as simple as the relationship is between a volunteer and a client of Meals on Wheels, it's really so impactful. I never thought that 5 minutes could make so much difference in the lives of two people, but it has.
Drop off a warm meal and get more than you expect. Volunteer at AmericaLet'sDoLunch.org. That's AmericaLet'sDoLunch.org. Brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I have problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose.
And here's Mike's best offer ever. My Pillow is now offering 50% off their 4-pack special plus free shipping. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's 50% off plus free shipping. Don't delay. Order now.
Welcome to the show, Elaine Pasqua. She's a certified speaking professional. She's put up all kinds of amazing programs on these college campuses and with professional athletes. In fact, on positive choices for pro athletes from 31 teams across the NFL, NBA, and Major League Baseball, the most notable Division I college football program she's been involved with, and collegiate athletes at more than 650 campuses nationwide. And she's exhausted, but she's here. Elaine, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm energized, actually. My work energizes me, Kate, because I love what I do.
Yeah, and I understand about the numbers. You know, it's like I say when I talk about, you know, breaking through and being in the locker room, that I've been in 780 locker rooms, and somebody said to me the other day, you must be exhausted, and I'm like you. We're very similar in that way. It might be that New Jersey background. So let's dive into it. What is it that pushed you in this direction? How did you start this kind of a career?
Well, it all started, my mom and stepdad both died of AIDS-related complications. He contracted the virus from a medical product that was made from human plasma and passed it on to my mom. And so because they chose to keep their infectious status a secret and didn't get the love and support at the end of their lives that most people do get because of their secrecy, I wanted to speak out more. So I got my mom's permission about a week before she died to finally tell the truth and to share the story. And so first, I started speaking about HIV and AIDS. For 2 years, I was working with health professionals and you know, the Pennsylvania Department of Health, all sorts of organizations. And then I called a college, and Delaware Valley College here in Doylestown, Pennsylvania. And the dean of students mentored me and got me on the national circuit. And so I first started started speaking about HIV and AIDS, and then 2 years into that, I realized that students needed, there were many more topics that needed to be addressed, because we're seeing the high-risk drinking connected to the unprotected sex. We're seeing the sexual violence and sexual assault, the drug abuse. So I broadened my area of expertise. And about in the early 2000s, somebody from a campus said, you know, you should really be focusing on collegiate athletes. And because they are higher-risk students, they work hard, they play hard, and I listened to her. And so, and around 2001, I created a niche for working with collegiate athletes. So I typically work with about 60 campuses annually, and most of my work is with athletic departments. And then about 8 years ago, I started working with pro athletes. It started with the New York Giants and then went on to working for the NFL league itself, and then working with the NBA and doing training for the developmental league teams. And I've worked with 4 different Major League Baseball teams as well.
Wow. The we go back to your mom's story. What a way, Elaine, that must have just been devastating to hear that news, but what a way to turn that around and try to help other people. And so now you fast forward through all of the different folks that you've touched. You must think somewhere your mother is smiling that you were able to do this.
I'm hoping. My aunts and uncles have all come to see my program when I was speaking in New Jersey, and they were saying, your mother would be so pleased. And I did get her permission, so it wasn't like I was doing this against her wishes. And so that makes it a little bit easier. But I tell people the most painful experience in my life has taken me to the most gratifying. And never in my wildest dreams, one, did I think that this would become a livelihood. I did it for free for the first 2 years because I just wanted to prevent people from going through what my family went through twice. And then little did I know that it would propel me to going on to working with the leagues. You know, I remember standing there on Park Avenue looking out of the window from the NFL league office and looking down the streets going, geez, who would think that little old Elaine Pasqua, who grew up on Gertrude Street from Clark, New Jersey, would ever be standing here. So you just don't know, Kate, where life is going to take you. I'm sure you feel the same way, too.
Oh, absolutely. When you go to these college campuses now, and you've been doing this for a while, what do you find? Do you find that the athletes, the collegiate athletes, do they open up to you? Is it tough to get them to open up to you?
No, because first of all, I think my stature helps. Somebody at the Baltimore Ravens said to the person at the Tennessee Titans who was thinking about bringing me in, said, she walks in the room, I don't think she weighs 100 pounds wet. They take one look at her and I go, what the heck? And then she opens her mouth. It's that Jersey girl moxie. So my stature, I'm 5'3". I'm small boned and tiny, so I'm very unassuming looking, and I'm not judgmental. I mean, and I think a lot of it is from where I grew up. Again, you know that too. We're not judgmental. We have this energy. We have this open frankness, and they do open up to me, and they confide in me. I mean, I've had even NFL players pulling me out in the hall and sharing the most intimate details of their life and going, how do I work through this? What do I do? And so they're very, very open. Last year, I was at Temple University for 2 days, and instead of me doing my scripted program, they had me meet for 45 minutes with each individual team just to have casual conversations. And Kate, it blew me away. It just, the conversations that I was having with full teams and the way they opened up, I learned more from them than they do from me. It's remarkable.
Yeah, no kidding. So what do you find is the, you know, what is the quandary of the pro athlete? Is it the single guys that come in and all of a sudden they have this money and this power and this adulation, and now it's a rush, and they've got a lot of women interested in them, and they don't know really how to navigate the terrain? Or what do you find?
You summed it up completely, all of that, you know, because there's so many temptations. Again, the money, the temptation. Many of these athletes are coming from families that didn't come from financial means, and so now they've got all the the cousins and the relatives hanging on and thinking that they're going, there's a lot of pressure to support other people. There's the entrapment by women. And this is one of the things that I focus on because I talk to a lot of the rookies about sexual assault and sexual health. And they're really confused. Studies are showing that young women are more sexually aggressive than we had seen in the past. And so a lot of the guys are going, well, wait a minute. I mean, I'll go round and round in circles with these guys because they'll, you know, I'll tell them things about consent and the law, and they'll go, well, wait a minute. Why am I the one that's getting in trouble when she's the one who started it? Or why are they, somebody from one of the NFL teams brought up a good point and said, why is it that when you have somebody who has accused another individual of sexual assault, they don't reveal the name of the victim, but they will reveal the name of the person who is accused, whether they're guilty or not. And even if they're not guilty, there's a seed of doubt and a cloud that will always follow them and hang over them. So I'm trying to get these guys to think with their brains and not with their other body parts, and to not get caught up in the moment. It's like if you get involved in a hookup with somebody you don't know, you're taking an incredible risk because you don't know who this person is. Maybe they're trying to entrap you. Maybe we also see a lot of young women try to get pregnant. You know, they entrap these guys into the pregnancies because they see them coming and they think, cha-ching, I want to ride on the coattails of their success. So I am trying to get them to think. I had an NBA player say, you know, after the program, he said, I never thought about the entrapment, but after you talked about it, I went and listened to all my tapes or my stories from the past, and I thought, oh, so that's what was happening. So a lot of times they're not even aware of it.
Wow. So, and we're speaking with Elaine Pasqua, certified speaking professional. Boy, what a powerhouse. She's worked with pro athletes. She's worked with all these Division I college football programs. She's heavily sought after, has really built quite a career. When you look at the younger guys, you look at the college football programs, et cetera, what are you hopeful for?
What I'm hopeful for is, one, that they understand that they're ambassadors of their university, of their athletic department, and that the behavior that they engage in off of the field is going to be under the same scrutiny as the behavior that they engage in on the field or on the court. So I want them to understand. People are looking. We're living in a time of suffocating media attention. Anybody can whip a cell phone out of their pocket, take a picture, send it viral, and ruin someone's reputation. So I want them to be remembered for their stellar performance on the field. I want them to be to build a legacy that they're proud of. And I also want them to stay on track for the future. Because, one, how many of them are going to go on to pro sports? How many get into pro sports who are injured and their careers are shortened? So we want them to finish school. We want them to think beyond sports and building a future for themselves. So it's all about saving their reputation and knowing, understanding that one night, one inconsequential decision can change the rest of their lives. I even had, I don't name names, but an NFL player who I was with when he was in his senior year in college, and he was accused of sexually assaulting a young woman. And we talked recently, and he said, you know, I want these guys to know that one night can dramatically change their lives. And a lot of times there's misunderstanding. They think that they got consent, and then it turns around and turns into a very negative situation for them.
Wow. Elaine, if somebody wants to find out more about you, where can they go?
They can go onto my website, www.elaine, E-L-A-I-N-E, Pasqua, P as in Peter, A, S as in Sam, Q-U-A.com. I'm also on LinkedIn. I'm on Twitter and Instagram. So they can find me, and then my phone numbers, my contact information is on my website, so they can feel free to call me and reach out, and I would love to work with them.
Perfect. Elaine, thank you so much.
Thank you, Kate. Appreciate it. It was fun to talk to you today.
I was an animal in the trees, hiding behind you on my hands and knees, sizing your body up.
You may need this herbal tea for relief right away, so write this down. DrMillersClinic.com. If you take meds, then suffer stomach distress, constipation, indigestion, acid reflux, and bloating, and nothing else helps, get Dr. Miller's Holy Tea or Super Holy Tea, a cleansing, detoxifying herbal tea now available at great rates direct from Dr. Miller's office. Call or click 888-660-7039 or DrMillersClinic.com.
There's a man named Dr. Joel Wallach who is anything but your typical doctor, both a veterinarian and naturopathic physician. Doc asks, why does the United States spend more money on healthcare by far and still rank 50th in health and longevity worldwide? He believes that people should empower themselves with a basic understanding of nutrition, take charge of their health, and attain optimal health and longevity through nutrition, not by toxic prescription drugs that lead to side effects and more toxic prescription drugs. Doc Wallach's message is resonating with an increasing number of Americans who are waking up to all the big government, big pharma, and big insurance manipulation of our healthcare system. I'm George Norrie, and I like what Doc Wallach is saying and doing to enlighten people about healthcare. Visit BrightsideBen.com and listen to Doc Wallach's Deadly Recipes lecture. It makes a lot of sense, and I urge you to join the Brightside Ben team. Go to BrightsideBen.com. That's BrightsideBen.com.
Hear that? That's the sound of a house being trashed while a gang of thieves ransack the place. And what they don't steal will be destroyed.
This year, resolve not to be the next victim of a break-in. Go to FakeTV.com and discover a device that creates the illusion someone inside is watching TV, even when you're miles away. Security is a mindset, and Fake TV should be part of your security solution. Be vigilant, but not fearful. FakeTV.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I have treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Well, we've been talking a lot here on America Tonight, folks. You know this. Are we going to see some kind of brokered convention? What's going to happen in Michigan? As we know, this is D-Day and the back and forth of Trump and Cruz, and then there's Rubio. It's a wild circus, but where does it all end up? Dr. Herb London is with us. He is the president of the London Center for Policy Research. And Dr. London, you know, this is a question we talk about a lot on America Tonight because everybody wants to forecast what's going to happen and, will we have a brokered convention? So there's the first question. Explain the brokered convention, and do you think we'll really have one?
Well, it's a distinct possibility. Let me just say that it's plausible, although I still think unlikely. What happens, of course, in Michigan, what happens in Ohio and Florida could be critical. If Rubio manages to pull out a victory in Florida, even though he is running as an underdog at the moment, then things do change a little. If Cruz maintains a very close, is rather close to Donald Trump going into the convention, but neither have the 1,237 votes required to secure that nomination, that too is going to be put into the calculus. So I think there are a lot of imponderables, but there is certainly the possibility that this could be a brokered convention. It would be a wild scene, and it's not going to come out well.
What happens if, you certainly get the feeling that the establishment Republicans really don't want Trump, but if it's Trump, they have no choice, right, rather than to embrace him?
Well, if Trump gets to 1237, there is no question that he has got the nomination. And no matter what the leadership in the party thinks, and obviously there's a lot of anti-Trump sentiment, he's going to be the nominee of the party. The problem, however, is he's getting to 1237 is going to be far more complicated than even the Trump people think. There are other primaries. There are winner-take-all primaries. Let's just say, for the sake of argument, Kasich wins in Ohio, Rubio wins in Florida, and Trump wins in Michigan. Now the race looks a little different, not quite the same. Keep in mind that the distance between Trump and Cruz at the moment is only 90 delegates, only 90 delegates. You need 1237 to be the nominee of the party. So it's not as if Trump's got this locked up, not by a long shot. And the anti-Trump sentiment is obviously working very hard. Some of that is you call the establishment, but not all of it is the establishment. I am certainly very angry at the Republican Party, angry because the Republicans gained control of the House and the Senate, and then you look at the last budget bill, and they gave Obama everything he wanted, including an additional $1 trillion to the national debt. I'm appalled and angry at the party, but I'm not a Trump supporter. So to suggest that everyone who is opposed to Trump is part of an establishment is, I think, something of an overreaction. There are many people who do not believe that Trump is qualified to be president of the United States. He doesn't have the requisite background. He doesn't have the temperament. He's vulgar. I mean, there are things that go into this candidacy that I do not think Trump possesses. That's my view. But again, whether it's my view or not, if Trump garners the 1237, I, as a Republican, will support him. But again, whether he can reach 1237 is not at all clear at this moment.
Yeah, it's interesting, and I agree with you, by the way, about whether he has what's necessary to be the president, etc. Absolutely, no question about it. I think that's the other part of this story. It does show you something of what is out there and what's pervasive in our society, I think. What do you read into that Trump gained this almost immediate popularity?
Well, I think that a lot of it is the fact that he is a national personality. In the case of most people who run for president, you've got to spend a lot of money buying name recognition. Donald Trump didn't have to spend a dime doing that. He is a personality. He is something of a television star. He is someone who is well known. He has promoted himself brilliantly. He is something of an expert on branding. I don't think there's very much there. I don't think he's a successful businessman, and I don't think he's a particularly successful politician, but he is successful at branding himself. And in that sense, he has a distinct advantage. The other part of it is people have been looking for someone who I think represents the anger that they feel about what is happening in the United States. The difficulties that we faced in America over the last 8 years under Obama's stewardship have coalesced around a figure, around an instrument who is simply giving a giant finger to the establishment and the Republican and Democratic Party, saying, I'm tired of politics as usual. And that is what Donald Trump represents. People don't listen to the things that he says. They think of him as a symbol. And as a symbol, he represents everything that people are dissatisfied with a politics in Washington as usual. And in that sense, he has a distinct advantage.
We're speaking with Herb London. He's the president of the London Center for Policy Research. Looking at the others, looking at Cruz, you mentioned Rubio in Florida, of course, and all that maneuvering. Of those two, who do you think has the better chance to be there at the end if it's not Trump?
Well, again, I don't have a horse in this race, so yeah. I'm not here to promote a candidate.
Yeah.
All I can tell you is that it's going to be a lot closer than people anticipate. If you actually look at the number of representatives, notwithstanding the fact that Trump has been far more successful in winning the primaries, but if you look at the fact that these were proportional representation, and so you get a proportional vote, the consequence of that has been that the distance between Trump and Cruz is not very great at the moment. And then if you look at the fact that the races coming up are winner-take-all in Ohio and Florida, if, in fact, Rubio gets the 90-plus votes in Florida and Kasich gets the 66 votes in Ohio, they both have a claim. Now, how legitimate is that claim? It's very hard to say. But keep in mind, we may be talking about multiple ballots. So in the first ballot, even if they're not successful, there may be a second, a third, and a fourth ballot, in which case you start seeing deals being made, in which case it's difficult to know how things actually unfold. And it may very well be that Donald Trump ends up with, I don't know, a cabinet position, or maybe even the vice presidency rather than the presidency. You do not know what will actually happen at a convention. And if you look at the history of conventions, it is very clear that people sometimes come from virtual obscurity and end up with the nomination. John Garfield, for example, no one would have anticipated that he would get the nomination for the Republican Party, and yet he did. Again, you know, it's very, very difficult to know if you have a brokered convention, because you will have a party that's split. The reason why I said, however, this will not come out well is because the Trump people are going to be very angry if he doesn't get it. They'll bolt from the Republican Party. Will they start a third party? Hard to know. Donald Trump's assertions to the contrary, you have to realize almost everything that he says is like pie crust. It's going to break very easily. So you don't know whether, in fact, he will actually live up to that claim. And then the other part of it, Trump wins. If Trump wins, I can assure you, a very significant portion of the Republican Party is going to say, this is not for us. We're going to step aside. We're not going to vote at all. We can't vote for Pinocchio, and we're not going to vote for Joseph Stalin, so we're not voting. That is going to hurt the Republican Party dramatically. So again, either way, it does not work out well for the Republicans. And that's very, very unfortunate, because this is yet another opportunity for the Republican Party that will be blown by the party. And again, from the standpoint of looking at this from a historical perspective, this is very sad indeed.
Yeah, so the Democrats must be, based on everything you're saying, and you're right, they must be licking their chops in a sense behind the scenes watching this.
Oh, no question. However, they've got their own problem. Because if Mr. Comey, James Comey of the FBI, comes out with a report indicating that there really is criminal behavior that Hillary Clinton has engaged in, which seems to be the case, I might add, and even if there isn't an indictment, but just a report that comes out from the FBI, that report appears in the Washington Post, in the New York Times, in the LA Times, I can assure you that she's going to be flushed out of this campaign. The Democrats are not going to give this nomination to Bernie Sanders. You can't imagine that someone who believes that the means of production should be controlled by government should be the next president of the United States. So that's not going to happen. So in the wings is someone who's going to be described as the savior of the Democratic Party. His name is Joe Biden. Biden will, in a brokered Democratic convention, end up as the nominee of the party, probably running with Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts.
Wow, that's interesting, too. And, of course, that has absolutely been suggested by others. Do you think we're going to have a record turnout this time around because of a lot of things that we just talked about?
Well, I think that you will have a record turnout on the Republican side, where in the primaries, the number of people who have gravitated to the primary has been astonishing, absolutely astonishing. The increases on the order of 30, 40, 50% in some states is quite remarkable. A lot of that is due to Trump, for which he deserves some credit. So I think that that's very important. The Democrats have had a lagging turnout, in part because Hillary doesn't muster the same kind of enthusiasm as her husband. And Bernie Sanders, as I indicated before, has his following among the hardcore young socialists in the United States, who obviously didn't learn any historical lessons from the 20th century. So, again, the Democratic Party is in an odd position at the moment. If, in fact, the Republicans fail, they will fail because they've imploded, not because the Democrats have been more successful than the Republican Party.
Yeah, interesting. All right, it's been a great conversation. Herb London, again, go to London Center for Policy Research. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.